Great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning again on this wonderful day that the Lord has made. I always look forward to spending time with you every Sunday morning, and I'm hoping that today you're going to have a great time as we sit under the ministry of the Word. Let's go straight into the Word this morning. I want us to go together to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel to honor, sanctified and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. But flee youthful lusts, and follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Why don't you join with me this morning to pray for the Word? Pray that the Lord would speak to you. Pray that today you'd experience what's on the heart of God. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the Word. Even as we have read your word today, we pray that your word will be like water. May we be washed by your word. I pray that your word will be like fire, burning up everything that needs to be burned up, Lord. We pray that your word will be like a mirror, revealing the state of our lives so that we can really see where we are and where we need to go. So, Father, we submit ourselves under the preaching of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And everybody said, Amen. Praise the Lord. A couple of years ago, I was about to take a trip to one of the African countries. And it is one of those countries where electricity is very scarce. It is so scarce to the extent that they will have 24 hours of load shedding, if not days and weeks, where electricity will go and nobody will be home. And I thought to myself, I need to prepare myself as I go to this place. So I decided to buy a power battery pack. And I went to the internet. I found one that was solar powered. So you're supposed to put this out there on the sun. It will charge up and then you're able to charge your device. So I went onto the internet, and I was able to secure one for myself. And lo and behold, within 3 days, I received my delivery. And I was so excited. Everything was great until I had my battery pack, my power pack in my hands. I took the power pack outside in order to charge it, but the thing could not charge up. It was not working. You can imagine how disappointed I was. The battery pack was available. The battery pack was available, but was not useful to me. And this morning, I want you to realize that as we talk about a glory dispenser ought to be both available and usable. It's one thing to be available, it's another thing to be useful wherever you are. You have people who go to work, they pitch up for work, but hey, they are not really as useful as they should be. Now, this morning, I want to ask you a question. Great, you are available, but how useful are you? It is important for you to get to that place where you are both available but also usable. Unfortunately, we have a breed of Christians rising up today who want to be used by God, but do not worry about whether they are usable or not. The Bible calls you and I ambassadors of the kingdom of God. You will know when an ambassador is deployed out to a country representing a country of their birthplace, you would know that that ambassador has to remain in good standing with the sending country if they are to keep their job. In South Africa, we have seen so many times ambassadors being recalled. We have seen so many people serving in the government being recalled by their party because they are no longer in good standing. Now the Bible says you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. And my question is, how usable are you as an ambassador? The kingdom of God is ablaze with grace. And so many people just get stuck on that aspect of grace. And they stop short of realizing that the kingdom of God is also governed by principles. The kingdom of God is also governed by principles. You can see today is going to be a heavy one. And allow the Spirit of God to speak to you today. Because I believe the Lord wants to minister to His church today. The Lord wants to minister to His bride this morning. You are the bride of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, this morning I want to deal with the fifth aspect, the fifth dimension of becoming a glory dispenser. Those of you who have joined us in this past 5 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about the life of a glory dispenser. And this morning I want to cover the fifth dimension of becoming a glory dispenser. You see, every glory dispenser has to be fit for purpose. So this morning, I want to talk to you on a message titled, Fit for Purpose. Are you fit for the purpose you are intended to serve? If you are a worship leader, if you are a worshiper in the house of God, are you fit for purpose? If you are a cell group leader, are you fit for purpose? If you are a husband, if you are a wife, are you fit for purpose? If you are a brother, a sister, are you fit for purpose? That is the question that I want to deal with this morning. The purpose, lest we forget, the purpose is to dispense the glory of God. The purpose is to showcase the person of Jesus Christ. And this is for every child of God. And I want you to know the day that you became a child of God, you were enrolled in the party of those who are there to dispense the glory of God. We are called to serve God. We are called to go out there and preach the gospel. The Great Commission says, go out and preach the gospel to all nations and making them disciples of Jesus Christ, teaching them to observe the whole commandments. So this issue of becoming a glory dispenser is an issue that affects every child of God, because God has called you. There is a purpose and a reason for why you are alive today. Whenever I wake up in the morning every day, I say, Lord, thank you for giving me one more day to fulfill what you called me to do on this earth. You see, when you're talking about fit for purpose, something that is fit for purpose is good enough to do the job it was designed to do. Something that is fit for purpose is good enough to do the job it was designed to do. The battery pack, the power pack that I bought, it was meant to charge up using the sun. But lo and behold, it could not do the job it was designed to do. We are so grateful in South Africa, we have all sorts of acts. You know the whole issue of the Consumers Act. If you buy a product that is promised to deliver something and you start using it and it does not deliver the promise, you have a right to take it back. Now this morning, I want to ask you a question. God designed you to be a glory dispenser. Have you been able to deliver the promise? Have you been able to deliver the calling of God over your life? We can see this in the Old Testament. From the time that the tabernacle was erected in the desert and the priests were ordained as priests, the priests had to fit a certain profile. They had to be from the household of Levi, from the tribe of Levi. And they had to be sanctified for them to be fit for purpose. Whenever the tabernacle and the children of Israel were walking through the desert, and the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, had to be transported, it had to be transported in a very specific way. It had to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. You would know that the Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God. And before they would pick up the Ark of the Covenant, these priests had to sanctify themselves. They had to go through a ritual to ensure that they were fit for purpose. The day that you became a child of God, you took on the role of a priest, child of God. You took on the role of a priest, and therefore every priest had to meet a certain requirement in order to be fit for purpose. You see, the priests would represent the people of God before God. And then they will also come and represent God before the people of God. Child of God, this is your role. You represent your family before God, and you represent God before your family. You represent your community before God. You represent God before the community. And the question is, are you fit for purpose? Are you able to say, I can stand before the people of God and say, this is what God has been telling me. This is where we are going, and this is what He's calling us to do right now. You see, the glory of God is about the presence of God in our lives. If we are to dispense the glory of God, it's about the presence of God in our lives. And the question that we want to address this morning is, what are some of the things that will make you fit for purpose to dispense the glory of God? Because you know what, saints? There will come a time that you and I will have to give an account before God. He's going to ask you a question. I called you to dispense my glory in your family. How did you do it? Can you give account? I called you to be a dispenser of my glory at your workplace. How did you do it? There will come a time that you and I will have to give an account. Today you might not be answerable to me, but there will come a time that you'll give an answer to the King of Glory. So the question this morning is, how do we become fit for purpose in this journey of dispensing the glory of God? Let's go to the scriptures that we read. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. The Bible says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This is a very packed portion of scripture. Just one verse. And Paul was talking to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he brings up three important keys when he was talking to Timothy. And he wanted Timothy to understand, number one, that the house of God is a great house. When we come into the house of God, in the church of the living God, it is not a weak church. It is a glorious church. And I want you to know that there's only one place we can find answers. It is in the house of God. It is in the church. The ANC has no answers for the issues that we are facing. But it is in the great house of God that we will find solutions to the ills of our communities. So you are part and parcel of a great church. You are part and parcel of the great house of God that is out to showcase the glory of God. The church of Jesus Christ is not weak. And saints, I want you to know that Jesus is not coming back for a weak church. Jesus is coming back for a bride that is clean and spotless, a bride that is pure. And this morning, are we in that state? And Paul is saying here, in a great house, there are vessels. So the first aspect is, the house of God is great. It is glorious. I thank God that I'm part of the house of God. I'm part of the church of Jesus Christ. And secondly, Paul is saying, in the house of God, there is work to be done. In the kingdom of God, there is work to be done. And he says here, this work has to be done by vessels and instruments. Every child of God is an instrument in the house of God. And I want you to know, there are no pew warmers in the house of God. When God looks at His church, He is expecting every part of that church to be functional and doing what it has been called to do. Are you the little finger in the house of God? Are you the thumb? Are you the feet? Are you the ears? Are you the heartbeat of the house of God? I want you to know that we are all vessels in the house of the living God. The question is, what type of instrument are you? And Paul goes on to address this, and there are two groups in the house of God. There are two types of dispensers in the house of God. The one group is that which is called the silver type and the gold type. Hallelujah. And this is the one that is honorable. We've got silver vessels in the house of God. We've got golden vessels in the house of God. These are precious vessels in the hands of the Most High God. And whenever God has got an agenda, whenever God has got a mission, He looks for the golden type of vessels. He looks for the silver type of vessels. And He deploys them because He knows that they can get the job done. They are fit for purpose. That is the one type of group, and He calls them honorable. They are vessels of honor, vessels unto honor. But in the same line, they are vessels in the house of God. Listen to me good. They are vessels in the house of God that are made up of wood and of earth. These are vessels that when God calls upon them, they are not available. They are too busy with their own work. These are vessels when God is putting pressure on them, they don't deliver the power. They don't deliver what is required of them. And Paul says these type of vessels are vessels of dishonor. These are vessels that they make a commitment, but they don't follow through. They say, "Pastor, I will be there for prayer," but they don't pitch up. I'm sorry, it's going to be heavy this morning. But this is what the Lord is saying to the church. It is your choice what type of vessel you want to be. Each one of us are given an opportunity to determine in which group we are going to fit. And I want you to realize that this distinction has nothing to do with divine election. There is nothing to do with God choosing one to be a vessel of honor and another one to be a vessel of dishonor. No, your conduct and my conduct will determine whether I become a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor. So this morning, I want you to realize that your conduct determines your usability in the kingdom of God. The Bible says to each one a measure of faith was given. The key issue is what do you do with the measure of faith that God gave you? If you build well over what God has given you, you become a vessel of honor. Paul speaks about this and he says, "I have laid the foundation and the foundation is Jesus Christ. But let everybody be careful how they build, because the way you build will determine whether your works will survive on the day of judgment." There will come a day of reckoning, saints. Paul says, if you build well, your works will survive. But if you do not build well, your works will burn out. And some of you will enter heaven having gone through fire. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And there is a lie that has come into the church. And that lie says you can live your life anyhow and God can still use you. Why do they say that, and why do we say that? It is because we're in the dispensation of grace. You see, as pastors and teachers of the word, we choose, we can live anyhow, we can slip around, and we can come up and preach on a Sunday morning. Why? We think it's about the heart. It's not about what I do. We do all sorts of funny things, and we justify them. We justify them because of grace. We say, "Brother, grace has it covered." Really? Is that the heart of God for the church? Is that what Jesus died for on the cross? I want you to realize this morning that God is determined to keep his name holy and pure. He says whoever comes to him must consider him as holy. That is the Bible that I know. That is the old time religion that I've grown to know. But things have changed. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Paul says, do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? Seated in your comfort in your home right now, do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you. We are carriers of the Spirit of God. The Church of Jesus Christ carries the Spirit of Jesus. And now here Paul says, don't you know that we are the temple of the living God? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. For God's temple is holy. So this thing does not apply to say, this is a moment of grace. I can live anyhow, and I can still be anointed. I can still preach the word of God. That is why Jesus said one day, some of you who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. Because on that day you will come to me and you say, but Lord, we cast out demons in your name. And I will say to you, you doers of evil, I do not know you. What am I saying this morning? You've got to be fit for purpose. I am preaching in this manner not because everything is hunky-dory with me. I'm preaching because this is what God has laid on my heart. And I'm crying out to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be right with you. Help me, oh God. I'm also preaching to myself. And Paul is saying here, anybody who destroys the temple of God is in danger in facing the wrath of God. The temple of God is the church of Jesus Christ. It is you. Your body is a temple of the living God. Therefore, if I live anyhow and I bring division in the body of Jesus Christ, I bring the name of God to disrepute, I am in line in the wrath of God. I am lining myself up with the anger of Jehovah God. We don't know what Paul meant by saying God will destroy that person. But what we know, he's talking about there will be a stern action from heaven upon everybody who destroys the body of Jesus Christ. Upon everybody who brings the name of Jesus to disrepute. Am I talking about works here? No, I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about walking in the fear of God. The Bible tells us that let us work on our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not about, you see, salvation is not earned by works, but we work on our salvation. Hallelujah, somebody. We work on our salvation. You see, the Lord Jesus talking to John the Revelator, he started doing an assessment over the church in Asia Minor. Jesus looked at the churches in Asia Minor and he did an assessment. You think Jesus stopped assessing the church? No. He is daily assessing his bride. He is daily assessing the state of affairs in our hearts. And look at what he said to one of the churches. This is the church at Laodicea. He says in Romans 3, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the leader, to the pastor of the church of Laodicea, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the head of the creation of God, says these things. I know your works. You see, we say works don't matter. But we see here the head of the church saying, I know your works. Works matter before God. What I do in my house matters before God. What I do in my business matters before God. What you do with your children matters before God. And he says here, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you're lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This is a strong worded letter to the leader of the church at Laodicea. And the head of the church is expressing his utter disgust. This is a very strong worded letter to the church. And Jesus was saying, I am done with this way of life. It cannot be business as usual. He says here, you've got to choose. Saints, we've got to make up our minds. And Jesus was saying, I would rather have you be hot or cold. I would rather know where you stand, whether you are for the church or you are for the world. And the Lord Jesus was saying to this church, make a choice. It cannot be I am partly in or I'm partly out. One leg in the kingdom, one leg outside the kingdom. He says, if you live like that, you are not fit for purpose. Lukewarmness will result in being spewed out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. He then says, we are good for nothing the moment we are lukewarm. Many believers are found in this state. And I want you to know that a lukewarm church is not fit for purpose. And my question this morning is, Go Christian Church, are we a lukewarm church or we are hot for Jesus? The choice is ours. And the Lord is looking for a church that is hot for Jesus. The Lord is looking for a church that is fanatic for Jesus, where the church is totally sold out for Jesus, where the church is not looking for permission from the society to preach the gospel, where the church will stand for righteousness, where the church will address sin among themselves so that the church can remain pure before God. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. On whose side are you? Jesus is saying, I would rather have you choose to be hot or to be cold. And for every choice we make, there are consequences. When we choose to be hot for Jesus, we become instruments of honor. Glory be to God. Instruments that he can use for his glory. Hallelujah. Instruments that he can brag about even before the devil. Remember the story of Job. Job was hot for God. And God went to the devil and he said, have you seen my servant Job? Can God say that about God Church today? And say, have you seen my church on the corner there? Have you seen my church in the upper room? A lukewarm church is not fit for purpose. So Paul goes on and he starts talking to his son Timothy and he starts giving him pointers on how to become fit for purpose. And I believe these pointers are very key to us as a church today for us to remain fit for purpose for the glory of God. So Paul tells his young son in the ministry how to become fit for purpose. One of the keys of becoming fit for purpose is this. Refuse ungodly influences in your life. Allow me to say, glory dispensers refuse ungodly influences in their lives. There will always be influences. There will always be people who want to control you. Your own family will want to control you. The question is, will you allow them? You see, Paul was telling Timothy that the company you keep will determine whether you are fit for purpose or you're not fit for purpose. The company I keep as your pastor will determine whether I remain fit for purpose for what God has called me or I become bland as an ex. 2 Timothy 2:21, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone purges himself from these, other versions say, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, I don't know if you understand what is being referred to here as the latter. Therefore, if anyone purges himself from these, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, remember the story, the verse 20 says, there are vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. There are vessels of silver and vessels of wood. There are vessels of gold and there are vessels of earth. So here Paul is saying, if we purge ourselves from the latter here being referred to is the vessels of wood and vessels of earth and vessels of dishonor. It's about company. The context here is that there was a group of preachers. There was a preacher by the name of Hermanus and Philetus. Hermanus and Philetus were now pushing and teaching a false doctrine in the area where Timothy was about to pastor a church. These two preachers were now saying there's no resurrection. They were now teaching a false doctrine. And now Paul was saying, because of this false doctrine, they were no longer vessels of silver and gold. They were now vessels of wood and vessels of earth. And now he was saying, if you purge yourself, if you separate yourself from the influences of Hermanus and Philetus, you will become a vessel of honor. He was talking about the company and the influence that we allow to come into our lives. So this is not just about company that we keep around us. I want you to realize that this speaks of other types of influences. It speaks of the books that we read. It speaks of the thought patterns that we allow to come into our mind. It speaks of the choices that we make. You see, glory dispensers must shun away from defiling company and polluting principles. If you and I are to be glory dispensers, we need to shun away from defiling company and polluting principles. This is so key. And what has happened in the body of Christ is we have consulted the other people and other ideas except what the word says. The Bible is very clear about how we should manage our marriages. But we ask Auntie Dorcas in one of these magazines. The Bible is very clear about how we should relate to one another. But we choose to go other ways. What has happened to the fear of God in the house of God? What has happened to be God-honoring in all that we do? What has happened to forgiving and letting go of one another? Those things are not common. Now, when you refuse to be influenced by the leaven of religion, or the influence of religion, you will become a vessel of honor. So many times we've got an outward appearance of religion, but we deny the power thereof. We have become very religious. We know how to speak Christian lingo. We know how to say things to the pastors just to put up a face. But back at the ranch, nothing is really going on. You need to realize that setting yourself apart makes you fit for purpose. When we set ourselves apart, when we decide to say, I'm going to live for Jesus, my life belongs to you, I surrender everything about my life, you become fit for purpose. The choices you make on the outside are a reflection of the state of your heart. The choices we make are a reflection of the state of our hearts this morning. Many people start off very well. You can all look back when we gave our lives to Jesus. We were very excited about going to church, very excited about preaching the gospel, very excited about living aright. We'd question our thoughts before we allow our thoughts to take our mind share. But you know, something happens when you become older in the things of God. When you become a veteran in the house of God. And allow me to say this morning, it is very sad to observe that some of the most difficult people to lead are people who've been in the church the longest. People have been in the church for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. We become so familiar with the church that we are difficult to lead. It is the veterans in the house of God who do not pitch up for a fast and prayer program in the church. Well, why? They have done it so many times. It is the new believers who run to church to clean the church. What happened to the old veterans? They've done it and it doesn't work. It's unfortunate that we don't get better when we grow in the house of God. But today I speak to you today in the name of Jesus. Be awakened again to our passions for Jesus. Let's be alive to what is alive in the heart of God. Let's mourn when Jesus mourns in his heart about the state of the world. Let's be burdened by what burdens the heart of Jesus. My desire is that as long as I have life in my blood, I will serve the Lord with everything that I have. I will seek his face as long as I have life in me. Again, Jesus addresses the church that it become familiar with the day-to-day runnings of the church. You see, we become familiar with pastors, but we are not prepared to listen to what the Lord is saying through them. We say, well, if God can speak through him, he can speak through me. Well, you won't be the first one to say that. Miriam and Aaron said that about Moses, his young brother. Aaron said to about Moses, who does Moses think he is? Does he think God only speaks to him? Until God calls them down and say to them, to you I speak in dreams and visions, but to him I speak to a man as a friend speaks to his friend. What am I talking about today? Do not get familiar with the things of God. God is God and we are human beings. So Jesus speaks to another church. And this is what he says in Revelation 2, verse 4. There are many good things that this church had said. And I'm saying there are a lot of great things in our church. There are a lot of great things in the body of Jesus Christ. But there is room for improvement. There is room for improvement, saints. Revelation 2, verse 4 says, but I have this against you. I wonder this morning, what is it that God has against me that he wants me to deal with? You see, God is a good God. When he has a bone to pick with you, he will tell you. He will come and convict you. He's not going to condemn you. And so as I preach right now, may you not feel condemned, feel convicted. So Jesus comes and he convicts this church and he addresses this matter. And he says, but I've got this thing against you. You have abandoned the passionate love you had for me at the beginning. You have abandoned your first love, other versions say. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent. Turn around. Turn around like I'm doing. Turn around and change your ways. Think about how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. You used to care about the welfare of brothers. You used to be your brother's keeper. But today we are saying, am I my brother's keeper? I'm not my brother's keeper. Indoda yazibonela. One man for himself and God for us all. And here he's saying, yeah, go back to that love. Where you were so concerned about the welfare of your brothers, you would pick up phones and you would phone people. But today, we are consumed about ourselves. In this lockdown scenario, we do not check on each other. No, we don't. We are thinking about ourselves. Repent and do the works of love you did at first. When last did you check on somebody else? Somebody who is not able to pay you back. Somebody who is not able to check on you because they don't have the capacity. When last did you do that? When last did you pray for somebody without telling them that I'm praying for you? repent and do the works of love you did at first. I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place of influence if you do not repent. This is talking about a demotion. He says, if you do not change your ways, I will demote you. I will remove your influence in the communities. When people used to come to you asking for advice, they will no longer come. When people used to look up to you, they will no longer look up to you. Why? Because the lampstand has been removed. When a church used to be influential in a community, if it does not repent and go back to its place of love, it loses its influence. The influence of the church is relevant, but it is only present when Jesus endorses it. Does somebody hear me? Your influence is relevant, but your influence is only possible if Jesus endorses it. When Jesus removes his endorsement, there's no more influence that I have anymore. We will just be a noisy gong and just speaking and nobody pays attention. We declare and nothing changes. What would have happened? Christ would have come and removed the lampstand. Does somebody hear me this morning? Christ would say, if somebody has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is key. Jesus saying, repent and do the works of love you used to do. Right now, I want you to ask yourself, where have I fallen off? Where have I backslidden? You are still a Christian, but you have backslidden in your love. You might have backslidden in your giving. You might have backslidden in your prayer life, in the reading of the word. And Jesus is saying to you and I, go back to your former love. Because if you do not do that, we will lose our place in society. We will lose our place in our homes. Your own children will not listen to you anymore because the influence would have faded away. Oh, may the Lord help us today. May the Lord help his people to go back to that place of love. Point number two that will help us to become fit for purpose is this. Glory dispensers ought to run away from youthful lusts and to pursue uprightness. You see, I'm not concocting these points. These are in the Bible. This is the word that we've just read. You see, glory dispensers got to run away from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness and pursue uprightness. Allow me to say this morning, whatever you are able to outrun and whatever you are able to catch will determine your usefulness in the hands of God. Whatever you're able to outrun, because the devil is in pursuit of you. If you can outrun certain things in your life, and you're able to lay hold of certain things in your life, that will determine your usefulness in the hands of God. Again, this is not about works. It's about what we need to do in order to rightly position ourselves to be used by God for his glory and for his purposes. Vessels of gold, vessels of wood, vessels of silver, vessels of earth. It is our conduct that qualifies us sometimes. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 2:22, the Bible says, run as fast as you can. This is in the Passion Translation. Run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth and chase after all that is pure. You got to run away from certain things and you got to run after certain things. So in life, you are always running after something and running away from certain things. Hallelujah. I wish we could all be like Joseph. The young man Joseph was about to be trapped by the wife of Potiphar. And she went to Joseph and she lusted after Joseph. And she said to Joseph, come into bed with me. And Joseph said, no, 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 no. How can I do this to my master Potiphar? My master has given me responsibility over everything except you. And the Bible says, Joseph ran away. There are some things that you don't need to try and resist. All you've got to do is to run away. That is your only way of victory. It is to run. Baleka. Run, my brother. That is your victory place. Run as fast as you can from all the ambitions and lusts of youth and chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. You must pursue whatever deepens your love for Jesus like an armed man. Run after love. Hallelujah. Run after faith. Run after patience. When you do that, you will lay hold of these things, and those things will make you fit for purpose. And live in peace with all those who worship our God, our Lord Jesus, with pure hearts. Though Timothy is referred to as a young minister, as a young pastor, you'll be surprised to realize that Timothy was not really very young at age. Timothy was between the age of 30 and 40. So Timothy was not really a young person in terms of age. Now he was at a very age where ambition was very high up in his priority. Middle-aged people in that range of the age group are people of great ambition. And therefore the issues of lust that Paul was talking about was more than the lust of the flesh or lascivious ways of life and sexual issues. It also had to do with ambitions of life. I want you to understand this morning that Timothy was at that age group where ambition was high in his priority, where a love of power was generally up in his level of priority. And when I look at our church, when I look at a lot of young people of that age, we are at that place where we are pushing. We want to achieve as much as we can. We are hitting the peak in our careers. Promotion is coming our way. If you're a businessman, you've got the energy and the adrenaline to pursue your dreams. And if you are not careful, you're going to be trapped. And now Paul was saying to Timothy, be careful of selfish ambitions in your life. Be careful of being in pursuit of power in your life. Now this morning, you and I have got to watch out for vain glory. We've got to watch out for popular applause. You've got to watch out for becoming the main man in any environment. You find that in the age of 40 there, you know, we want to be the main man. You want to be the CEO of your company. You want to be the MD. You want to be the senior pastor. There is nothing wrong with all of those things, but you've got to be careful that they don't get into your mind. When they get into your mind, they can defile you and I. We've got to be careful of what is driving you right now, what is pushing you to achieve those things. It is in that age where people will even sacrifice their families in order to go onto a job that will send them away from home every single week. They are away from home 3 weeks without stop. Why do they take the job? It is because more money and a title at work. You've got to be careful of these things. What are you sacrificing? What are you praying? What is the price of those things? You see, Paul goes on to tell Timothy that you've got to be obsessed by certain things. And we need to set our priorities right if we are to be glory dispensers. I've come to see some people speaking down on ministry. They think that people who are pastors, they don't have anything to do in the marketplace. Well, you'll be surprised to realize that a lot of pastors are really educated people. It's not because we do not have anything to do in the marketplace. It is because the vision that we heard, the calling that came upon our lives was too strong for us to ignore it. Does somebody hear me this morning? It's not because we failed in the marketplace, because there are people who think that pastors are people who would have failed in the marketplace, or people who serve full time in the house of God are people who would have failed in the marketplace. No, 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 no. There is no better boss than serving God. Glory be to God. Now, in the latter part of verse 22, it says here, chase after all that is pure. Oh, man, I love this. Chase after all that is pure. Whatever builds up your faith and deepens your love must become your holy pursuit. Must become your holy pursuit. It tells me something, that there are holy pursuits and there are some wicked pursuits. I've got to ask myself, what type of pursuit is this? Is this a holy pursuit or it's a wicked pursuit? Allow me to say that the devil will not allow you to chase after the things of God. He will not allow you to chase after what really matters in the bigger scheme of things. The intention of the devil is to slow you down. Spiritually, I've come to realize that when I am so busy in my business, some things suffer. My family suffers. My ministry suffers. The quality time I spend with God suffers. So the devil is going to make you so busy to the detriment of your time with God. At what price are you going to get that promotion? At what price are you going to get that promotion? That is a key question that somebody needs to answer this morning. Listen to me, it sounds reasonable to spend the whole night working on your business proposal. And I've done it. And a lot of people do it. It is reasonable to burn the midnight oil doing that business, that tender submission for your boss. It sounds reasonable and it is great. But you know what? It does not sound reasonable to do an all-nighter praying. The devil wants you to think, man, spending 4 hours in prayer, going to Ignite on a Friday night, that is too much. But you are forgetting that a week ago, you burned the midnight oils doing your tender that you submitted. So the enemy wants you to pursue everything else other than what really builds your faith. Allow me to bring it closer home. It makes sense to spend your bandwidth on Netflix, right? It makes sense to watch movies on Netflix. We don't think about it. We can watch movies right through the night and we're busy spending our bandwidth. But it's a challenge to spend your bandwidth on a Zoom prayer. A Zoom prayer meeting. What am I talking about? These are reality we are facing in this season of lockdown where we are saying, saints, we are not able to meet for prayer. Let's do a Zoom prayer meeting. And everybody says, Pastor, I've got no bandwidth, but you have bandwidth for Netflix. Priority. Priorities. What am I saying this morning? Paul is saying, pursue after whatever builds up your faith and whatever deepens your love for God. This is key. Pursue after everything that builds up your faith. Whatever is in your power, child of God, to build your faith, to build your faith muscles. Because when your faith is strong, your business will flourish. Nothing will shake you away. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are strong in your faith. What are we talking about this morning? Fit for purpose. I've shared what God has put on my heart. And I want you to know God loves you when he talks like this. The Bible tells us that he will warn those whom he loves. And he's saying, I want to use you, but are you fit for purpose? Am I fit for purpose? So right now, we're going to pray for these things. Whatever stood out for you, cry out to God and say, Lord, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Lord, purify my heart. Purify my heart. Cleanse me so that I can be fit for purpose. I'm turning around, Lord, from those priorities that take me away from you so that I can face you so that I can be with you. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I encourage you, my friends, don't take offense from this word. Let this word push you into a deeper walk with God. Shall we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to be useful in your hands. Will you use us today for your glory, for your purpose? I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister who has been digressed by all sorts of things. I pray that a recalibration will take place in their spirit man right now, where they can pursue after things that will build their faith, that they can pursue after things that will deepen their love for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we are coming back to our first love. We are coming back to that place where it is about you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that if we find you, we have everything that we need. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray right now for a stirring up in our hearts, oh God, so that we can pursue after you. Lord, help us to flee away from youthful lust. Help us to flee away from those things that take us away from your presence, oh God. Lord, may you help my brother. May you help my sister this morning to choose aright. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise.
Cleanse me from within. Lord, make me holy. Lord, purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within. And refine.
Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Please join us again next week. I'm going to do the last installment, part 6 of Glory Dispensers. You don't want to miss that one. The Lord is going to bless you out of your socks. He's going to minister to you next week. Join us. Just share this video, share this link with your friends, with your family, so that God can minister to them. May the good God keep you in peace. May He provide all your needs in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen.